الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي لا تؤدى شكر نعمة من نعمه إلا بنعمة حادثة توجب على مؤدي ما بنعمه نعمة حادثة يجب عليه شكر بها. ثم صلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى أهله وصحبه وعلى كل من سلك مسلكه إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors and mercies upon us. Allah says, wa in ta'uddu ni'mat Allahi la tusuha. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, you will not be able to count it. So as I was coming, something came to my mind. And that was what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala started with when he was writing his book, Al-Risala. Al-Risala of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala is one of the very great works in Islam that even Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi rahimahullah ta'ala. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi said that I did not observe any salah after I read this book, except that I prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on Shafi'i over this work. It was a very great work because it was a work that was written at the time when scholars like him, when his contemporaries, were not aware of certain things Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala was aware of concerning extracting Islamic rulings and concerning the management of conflicting texts. So some of his colleagues, realizing his versatility in knowledge, challenged him to bring out a book detailing that. And that's why scholars used to say, "An-nasu 'iyalun 'ala Shafi'i fi usul al-fiqh." So in a way, everybody must give credit to Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala as far as usul al-fiqh is concerned. So in response to that, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala brought out this book. He did not copy it anywhere. He brought it out from his ocean of knowledge. And while he was introducing the book, he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi la tu'adda shukru ni'matin min ni'amihi. Praise be to Allah, whose any of his mercies cannot be really appreciated except with another mercy, compelling somebody appreciating him. Oh, how do I say it? Am I communicating? It says, praise be to Allah, whose mercies can never be well appreciated, except with the presence of a mercy, compelling anyone appreciating him to appreciate his former mercy with the present mercy he's receiving. So I read that a very long time ago. So, and that was what came to my mind while I was coming on the way. We thank Allah over all His mercies. Allah says, if you are to count them, la tusuha, you cannot count them. And of all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing and the mercy of seeking knowledge is also a very outstanding one. As Allah says in Quran, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلِيَفْرَحُ. If there's anything to rejoice with or to rejoice over, Allah says it is with the fadl of Allah and His blessing. Scholars say the fadl of Allah is Islam. that rejoice over your Islam and rejoice over the Quran. Some scholars said it is the mercy of Kitab wa Sunnah. Allah said, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. If at all you must rejoice, rejoice over those. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُ. That is better than everything that is gathered in this world. What I would have expected ordinarily when I talked to Malam Redwan was to tell me, Jazakumullah khairan. It is in the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are not going to have this class today. May Allah grant you a safe trip back to Ibadan. But Mala insisted. He insisted apologetically. I was also confused. We were two on the journey. I didn't want to leave my companion in that trauma. So I had to at least sympathize with him. So, but it came at the time he was mentioning that, my companion was also saying it would be better if you go there. Go there while I stay to sort it out. So, but the mercy there, brothers and sisters, the mercy there is the mercy of the knowledge. Alhamdulillah, thank God, if a person is going, if one is coming to meet a girlfriend in Ife, it can also happen like that. So, and you'll be struggling to commit things. But alhamdulillah, it is the struggle on the path of learning and seeking knowledge. So then what came to my mind was what the scholars used to say, it's an author, that ifnani la yashba'an. Two set of people, two groups of people are never satisfied. You can never satisfy them. Talibu dunya, the people of dunya, the seeker of this life, they are never satisfied. And that's why you are amazed at times when you see people who are okay, quote unquote, who are mashallah, as some of our sisters will say, there are two sets of brothers. There are mashallah brothers, and there are inshallah brothers. I add that at Lautek. Mashallah brothers are brothers who are okay, or close to being okay. Inshallah brothers are brothers who are struggling. They just mentioning a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So at times one is surprised. One is like Abba said, when you meet people who are averagely successful, wanting to become something politically. Okay, how can you describe a person who has risen to the level of being the deputy director, what is it called, at the Central Bank of Nigeria, only for such person to resign to be one of the contestants of a governorship position? You want to imagine, what else is this person wanting? Okay. Don't be surprised. At the point in time, alhamdulillah, we don't belong to any political party. But at the time, when PDP was behaving funny, they said they were appealing to Dangote. Didn't you read that? That they were appealing to Dangote to contest under their platform so that he would be their presidential candidate. So somebody said, that's not possible. I said, it is possible. It is very much possible. I am not saying whether the information was wrong or right, but it's possible. Because seeking after dunya is typical of people of dunya. And that they are never satisfied. You can't satisfy them. So this set of people are never satisfied. The seeker of dunya, وَطَالِبُ عِلْمُ وَطَالِبُ عِلْمُ. And the seeker of knowledge. The seeker of knowledge are never satisfied. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we belong to the other group. not the main group, because that group is the main group. This group of ours is the other group. And that is why Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmahullah ta'ala, one of the earliest scholars, said, قَدْ تَرْئِنَ الْمُلُوكَ قَدْ تَرَكَ لَكُمْ أَوْ قَدْ تَرَكُوا لَكُمْ الْآخِرَةِ قَتْرُكُوا لَوْمُ الدُّنْيَا. That the people of this world, the kings, the kingmakers, the people of the world, they have left the Akhirah for you. So you leave dunya for them. Let me tell you, how many governors will sit down to understand this deen? How many rich individuals? I was saying at our dars today that you see many people financing the deen in a big way. They can never sit down for 5 minutes to learn about that deen. And they can finance the deen to any extent, to any level. They say, in al-Muluk, some people, the people of the world have left the Akhirah, the hereafter for you. So you leave for them, or you leave to them, the dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray Him, we beseech Him to continue to keep us on this path. And also to accept this as an act of ibadah. It has been very, very hectic. But alhamdulillah, kullun fi sabili da'wa. May Allah accept it as an act of worship. We were nearly crushed. You know, I had to take a bike just to make it faster. Even though the time I was doing it, I knew it wasn't that very, it was not the right decision. I said, okay, if I had been the owner, I could have taken it also here. I said, okay, let's go. And along the way, we just, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, escaped or killed a very fatal accident. So alhamdulillah, all this for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if not for that mercy. And that was what led me to the statement of Imam Shafiq. You know, you are expecting me. And that thing could have happened within a twinkle of an eye. And the whole discussion could have been another thing entirely. Even though we would not expect that, even if it is just an hadith, even we have to read to ourselves, even if it's about death. But alhamdulillah, Allah speaking, the soul of our lecturer, while he was coming, car got broke down, and he had to take any kind of job. And we explained it away. And everyone said, oh, ghafar Allahu lahu rahimahullah, mashallah. Things like that. So, but for that mercy of safety, so we cannot thank Allah adequately for this city, if not for the safety that He granted us with that very slight opportunity. Barakallahu feekum. Al-Hadith.
As-salamu ala rasulillah. Qala al-musannifu rahimahullah. Wa ala Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, innama al-a'mal bin-niyyat. وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته في دنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قال
وعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها. أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. This hadith is a very important one. The hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that he heard the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, إنما الأعمال بالنيات, that actions are but with intentions. وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى, and to everyone, or everyone has according to his intention. فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله, whoever's migration is for the sake of Allah and His Prophet, فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله, his migration shall be for the sake of Allah or to Allah and His Prophet. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا, and whoever migrates for this world, أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or migrates for the sake of a woman he intends to marry, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, his migration shall be for what he migrated, or where he migrated to, or what he migrated to. This hadith is a very important hadith. We have, at different occasions, explained its importance. So time is not our friend also today. Let us go into the explanation proper. The scholar said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. There is one popular interpretation for this hadith. People would say actions are judged according to intention. This is not the meaning of إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Actions, the meaning of إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, we know إِنَّمَا is أَدَاةُ مِنْ أَدَاةِ الْقَصْرِ وَالْحَصْرِ, that actions are confined to intentions. That's the meaning. And that's why Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmahullah ta'ala said that this hadith means the first statement here is sabab, that for everything we do as human beings, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for my coming today. There's a reason for your sitting down to listen to this class, or to be part of this class. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are but with intentions. That's the meaning. And Sheikh Uthaymeen said this, the next statement is natija. You know, scholars used to say al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. Al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. That the reward is like, or your reward is the like of your action. So reward is based on your action. Then the Prophet ﷺ told us the result, that whatever is intended, فَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَىٰ, and everyone shall be rewarded in line with his or her intentions. And that's why scholars used to say that intention is so important. Scholars like Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he said, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُعَظِّمُ النِّيَّةِ. Many are minor works, so azim or niyyah, but with good intentions, they are magnified. They become big works because the intention behind them is good. And he said, وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِّرُ النِّيَّةِ. And there are many actions, mighty actions, but with intention, they become infinitesimal. They become very unimportant again with intention. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whatever one does, even if it's an atomic weight, you get it. You get rewarded for it. So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith told us that there is no action without intention. But Allah's reward is based on one's intention. That is a sabab wa natija. And this is in line with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man yuridi harth al-akhirah nazid lahu fi harthihi wa man yuridi harth al-dunya na'am nutihi minha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man yuridi thawab al-akhirah. Allah says, whoever intends the reward of hereafter, the benefit of hereafter. Sheikh As-Sadi rahmahullah ta'ala said, the harth, there is the fadail, the bounties of Allah, wa thawabuhu, and the reward of Allah. Whoever truly, with whatever he does, wants the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and does it for hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nazid lahu fi harfi. We are going to reward him. We are going to increase his reward. Okay, you do something, hoping to gain Allah's reward with it. Allah said, we are going to multiply your reward. We're going to increase it. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا أَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. But whoever wants that of the world, Allah said, not him. We are going to give him what he intended. That is talking about intention. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Everyone has whatever he intends. And the hadith of Abu Umama, the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sunan al-Nasa'i and said, O Prophet of Allah, in a rajul يَجْزُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُرِيدُ الْأَجْرُ وَالذِّكِرُ. There is a man struggling on the path of Allah, but he is struggling just to be mentioned. He wants to be mentioned, and he also hopes for Allah's reward. What was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَبَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَقْبَلَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَابْتُغِيَ بِهِ وَجْهُ. Allah does not accept any deed in whose, Allah does not accept any deed when the doer of such a deed does not seek the pleasure of Allah with his deed, with such deeds. That is to tell us that وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Then the Prophet said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever migrates to Allah and his Prophet, فَإِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, shall have that reward. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا. But whoever migrates for the sake of this world, to attain this world, or أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or a woman he intends to marry, فَيْجَرَتْهُ إِلَى مَهَاجَرَهِ, is rewarded based on what he migrated to. Okay, there's one very important thing there. Yeah. Then at this stage, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever migrates to Allah or for the sake of Allah and his Prophet, the statement reads, shall have the reward for the sake of Allah and his Prophet. But the other part, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا, whoever migrates for the sake of this dunya, or migrates for the sake of a woman, فَيْجَرَتُهُ إِلَى مَهَاجَرَهِ, his migration will be for what he migrated to. The statement did not read, فَيْجَرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنِيَا يُسِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَحَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا أَوْ يَنْكِحُهَا. Scholar said, why did they not repeat this? Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala, in Sharh of Riyad al-Salihin, said, two reasons account for this. The first reason is the cost of Ijaz. The Qasd al-Ijaz. Summary. Because we know it is part of the methodology of Islamic, of Arabic grammar to maintain Ijaz. Summary. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in Quran, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٍ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. Allah said, the day of Qiyamah, لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. No soul will be able to assist another soul. And he says, وَالْأَمْرُ and every matter, يَوْمَ إِذِنْ on that day, لِلَّهِ is for Allah. So, there is ijaz there. What is the ijaz there? وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٍ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ. That is one of the tenwin. That is called tenwin al-iwad. Al-iwad al-jumla. Tenwin al-iwad al-jumla. So with that singular tenwin, many statements have been represented. So that is what is called al-ijaz. Naam? Am I communicating at all? Naam. It said, qasdan lil-ijaz. Yes, this is good. Then he said another reason is litahkir. It was not mentioned because it was not worthy of being mentioned. You understand? Just like it happens at times when there's a quarrel between two friends, two lovers. You see him wanting to call it the name of his friend and say, ah, Abraham Abikile Nkwe. So that you look for him. So that you look for him now. Just like it was reported in Adab al-Mufrad that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so loving that he was even very, very sensitive about the psyche of his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Prophet said, Inni, the Prophet said, indeed I know. Hina kunti alayya ghadba. The Prophet said, I used to know whenever you are angry with me. Wida kunti anni radiya. And when you are happy with me, I used to know. Then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, okay, how would you explain it? The Prophet said, when you are angry with me, you say, Warabbi Ibrahim. You swear with the Lord of Ibrahim. But if you are happy with me, you say, by your Lord. Then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, I swear by Allah, La ahjuru illa smak. I did not forsake then except your name. It means that anger did not go down my heart. I was only neglecting your name, your love, recite in my mind. So that is to say, at times, litahkir, that because you don't want to mention something, you know, if Aisha would do that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, wa Rabbi Ibrahim, not wa Rabbi Muhammad, not wa alladhi ba'athaka bil haqq. How much more people like us? So scholars said, with tahkir, that when there is tahkir, that because that thing is not worthy of mention, it's not meant to be mentioned, that how will you explain it that somebody is migrating for the sake of this dunya? And that's why the scholars have said that it is improper for a Muslim to migrate from the land of Islam to the land of Kufr. It is unexpected of a Muslim to migrate from the land of Islam to the land of Kufr. As scholars said, it is not even permissible for a Muslim to choose to live among the kuffar. There are so many authentic ahadith on this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid us from residing among the kuffar. that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us. That's why scholars have said it is impermissible for a Muslim to leave an Islamic nation to settle permanently in a Kufr nation, because the hijrah has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today that is lost, that is almost forgotten by many Muslims. That even if you have to migrate, you have to migrate for safety of your religion. And even if you are migrating for dunya, you have to put your religion in consideration. One of the evidences that the Tabligh used to present when people antagonize their 40 days, 4 months outings, they will say many people are going to America, going to UK to look for greener pasture. And they will spend years without coming to their family. And everybody will understand with them. Why is it only us that are going for the sake of Allah that you people antagonize? That is Dalilun Aqliyun Amik. And it is good. It's a very good explanation. Even though that does not justify their bid'ah. So the point is, it is part of the etiquette that a Muslim is not expected to go to where his religion is not safe. Because Allah created us purposely to worship Him. And this is not considered again by brothers. And that's why scholars said there are three conditions that must be made before leaving your state for a state that is not a state of Islam. The first condition is there has to be one, you must have al-yaqeen. You must have certainty. You must be sure. You must be able to defend your religion. Al-yaqeen alladhi yadfa'u bihi shubuhat. Yaqeen with which you will be able to counter any shubuhat, any doubt that will be casted into your mind. Because we know there is shubuhat there. There's Islamophobia, particularly in the West. So the second condition is the condition of what? The condition of al-iffa. Allati tadfa'u biha ash-shahawat. You must also have self-restraint with which you will be able to prevent yourself from being badly influenced. So whoever is traveling must bear this at the back of his mind. I was telling a brother just this morning that I saw a sister of mine in America. I saw her on Facebook. Wallahi, I could not believe what I saw. She's far away. She's so far away. My sister. My immediate younger sister. Far away. And that is the nature of that environment. While she was in Nigeria, she was the type who did not want to do as much as we were doing. She got to America. I think I said it there, that I attended a part. A wedding feast, and the wife, the brother who invited me there, finished from Futa, a very good brother, mashallah, barakallahu fi. So he invited me. I had thought that, okay, he was inviting me to a gathering that is sane, that is decent. So I got there, only to find out that it was even a tug of war between him and his sister, who just came from Dubai to do the wedding. The sister insisted she was going to put on the wedding gown. And the brother was telling us that it was even that sister that influenced her while she was at Ife. The sister was at Ife. The brother was at secondary school then. She was the one who brought the guidance to the family. So after a little time, they went to Dubai to settle there. So he said the sister did not come even with a khima that can be used inside toilet. So imagine that kind of thing. That is the kind of shubuhat you get. Because there is something I used to say, that even this Islamic nation, un-Islamic nation, it has to be well explained. Let me tell you, brothers, if you must migrate to anywhere, at least in the present world, as far as I know, the only place that is well secured, Allah knows best. The only place that is well secured, that is a bit sane today, that I know of, is Saudiya. Go to Dubai, you see what people are becoming after years. Scholar said before you travel, you must have al-iffa, that self-restraint, with which you can control your feelings. You see, brothers, after a few years in America, you see them in a different personality entirely. Because there are lots of shubuhat there. There are lots of shahwat. And that's why today we are surprised at times when you see a sister fighting over, struggling to accept with her husband taking a second wife. Not all of them. There are very good ones among them that will accept that with the acceptance of Allah. So, but you see some of them that their husband will find means to migrate to America, migrate to UK, just in the name of securing green card. The husband will call him and say, Aja, the only option that is left, if I must remain in America, is to marry a white woman, or at least a citizen. And Alaja will say, so, it is cuckoo permissible in our religion. Is it for the sake of Allah? As if that green paper, that green card, is a certificate of our gender. As we are seated here, if a brother is pointed at and it is said that that brother you are looking is a citizen, some people will look at him twice, thrice, in an uncountable way. Do you know there are Muslims? There are Muslims, well-to-do Muslims, that would take their wife to America just for her to deliver, to be delivered of her baby, so that the baby becomes automatically a citizen of America. But today, you know, you look at that kind of investment. No, subhanAllah, this is wrong. We are Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Faman kanat hijratu li dunya yusibuha," because that thing is not worthy of mentioning. Scholar said that is why it was not mentioned again. That how would you migrate for the sake of dunya? So that is the second thing, that if you must migrate, you must have self-restraint. You must have that piety with which you can confront whatever, because the environment is such that lacks coordination. And that's why they want the old world to engage in lesbianism, to engage in gay marriage. It is part of their agenda. So this shahwat, you must have self-restraint from it. Then the last point is wujudul haja. There must be reason for going. There must be reason for going to where your religion is not secured.
And they are even unanimous that wherever religion, wherever your religion is not secured, you are not meant to be a resident there. Somebody was telling me at a point in time that he had an appointment that in a place in Iran. He met a man at Hajj and he was given an employment in Iran. And when we studied the location, we found out that it was the place that was mostly populated by Shia. I said, don't lose your hereafter because of your dunya. Today, we are losing so many brothers because we are not working with this hadith. It is dunya. Whatever Allah will give a servant there will definitely come to him. That is the fact. There is nothing that is worthy of your religion. It is our religion first, then our dunya. So this is what the scholars have said. And that's why the scholars said it is not permissible for a Muslim to seek residential permit or to naturalize himself in the land where Islam is not what is not popular, is not strengthened. So because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Faman kanat hijratu lidunya yusibuha aw imra'atin yankihuha, fa hijratu ila ma hajara ilayh." And that is why even, you know, that is why even some knowledge that are sought, even in the name of religion, I said some of them are not beneficial. Today, the issue is so much degenerating to the extent that an average person with a Sanawi certificate that is struggling day and night to be admitted into one of the Islamic universities, particularly in Saudiya, majority primarily do so for the sake of dunya. And that is why the knowledge is not beneficial. It's not everybody. And that is why it is not yet a sin of joy that somebody is given that kind of opportunity. And it has not even given you a leverage over others. You only have a leverage over others when you come with the true knowledge, with the true knowledge of Islam, the true knowledge of the deen. Because I was discussing with some of our colleagues. They were saying the Arabs are nice, particularly the Saudiyun, that they're nice individuals. Imagine their level of investment in Nigeria. I said, my brother, there is no good brother like you and me that will go there without having a project to do. These are people who love the deen of Allah. And most of them, most of their youth are not as serious as we are. I'm not saying this without any fear of contradiction. Ask any brother who works in Saudi Arabia. There's a brother who works in Saudi Arabia. When he came back home, he was expressing his disappointment over the level of degeneration of some of their youth. I said, my brother, forget about it. The Prophet ﷺ did not ask us to look after them. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ. It is my sunnah. And that's why some people will come today and bother us with a lot of useless stories. Our housemates are molested in Saudi Arabia. What's our business with that? Some of them will even say, if anybody is listening to this and is not sending it, aye, tena ma ba de, tena, ki lo kama peru ye, sha wa la re nse ni. You rub your shoulders off my head. Aye, tu wa shive ba de, you walk up on the Saudi, oh, ni mahrum, oh, compromise to go for your long, oh, lo si de. And I mean, you come travel without a mahrum. You traveled without your mahrum. One who molested, one who Saudi, one fire all over. Son of Israel, from a fire all over. Any man, what I was saying, you need to know. Brother, come on, say the king has been go. Or then you must say the rubbish is saying, ah, yes, oh, my good, my account for that. I mean, what you're all over. If you're quick, you know, send him out, download the old Jack, and go back to Kenny, if you're like that, I'm a tap, oh, I need to be that. I don't know. So for the sake of dunya, this is the problem. So the brother was expressing disappointment. I said, no. We say even the so-called Muslim nations, this law still applies. Do you understand? It still applies. Because if you are in a place in Dubai that is not saved for your religion, where your religious safety is not guaranteed, that place, because it is Dubai, and because it is an Islamic or Muslim territory, is no longer better than a place in Canada. Are we getting it? Because some people will feel, okay, if it's even Saudi, we are good to go. No. What about your intention? So the intention also matters. And that's why I said, even some people, some seekers of knowledge today, are not as productive, are not as useful as you expect. Because right from the intention, some have failed. Some have failed right from the intention. One of my neighbors got admitted to Jamiatul Imam, and I sat him down. I said, my brother, this is a very good opportunity. This Durusul Nizamiyya, the one you are going to learn in the university, is like a key. You are going to be given a key. Try to interact with scholars. Those who have experiences, some of our brothers, not all of them, some of them who do not know what they are doing, they will be conveyed from university to Kaaba, and they will be gifting at Kaaba, where the halakot were going on in the masjid. And these are people who want you to believe everything they say, because they have learned somewhere. It's not everybody, and we are not castigating that. In fact, give me an opportunity. Not that I will go, I have gone. But the point is the intention. Because an average person is made to believe that when you go to Saudi, going to Saudi is like going to America. And that's why if you come back from Saudiya, even if it's a place of deen, if you come back from Saudiya after 4 years and you have nothing to show for it, people will feel sorry for you. And that's why an average person would think like an average person going to America would think. Is it not happening like that? And that's why the person will be struggling to have a house of his own, a befitting house, with befitting furnitures. If these things come easily, nobody's Qulman Harama Zinat Allah. No, we are not talking about that. But we are talking about the intention. When the intention is, okay, I will know how to manage myself, and I will know how to get some people to give me mashruf. So some people will think it is for the sake of knowledge, but it is not for the sake of knowledge. Remember, I'm not alleging anyone. I am just telling the level of degeneration in our society when it comes to traveling, when it comes to making hijrah. So if a person goes there and seeks for knowledge, yes, he has his reward. Even if he's blessed with anything of this world, that is just an additional gain. But whoever is going there, even if it is a place where knowledge is sought, whoever is going with the intention of making money, and also being like some who have been blessed to have projects to do in Nigeria through assistance from there, whoever is going there for that purpose, the fact that he's going to Saudi does not make it correct. Are we getting it? So the same way that it is difficult to say today that you cannot go to a place and you can go to a place. What is most accurate is for us to find out, where are you going to? Nobody is after anybody staying where he is. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahmahullah ta'ala says, ma fil maqami la. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmahullah, is it? In Diwan, ma fil maqami li di aqlin wa di adabin min rahatin fada ila awtana wa qatari. Yes. Safir tajidi iwadan amman tufariku. It is in Diwan, Abi. No. Imam al-Shafi'i said, ma fil maqami li di aqlin wa di adab. That for anyone who has his intellect working, and someone with adab, that there is no joy in being in your environment, in your locality. Say, Father, move out, leave your nation, and become a stranger in another nation. Tasafir tajid iwadan amman tufariqu. Travel, you are going to see, you are going to make up for whatever you miss at home. So this is encouraged. There is no problem with it. But if it is to the detriment of your deen, then it is discouraged. Even if you are traveling to Saudi in a manner that is detrimental to your deen, then it will be discouraged. And if someone is traveling to UK, for example, and is traveling to an environment where his religion is will be more secured than being in Nigeria, then that's what is expected. So the safety of our religion is what is paramount. Is what is paramount. Because today, most Islamic nations are not Islamic in the real sense of it. And you can get contaminated by staying in the environment. So Salah said, because traveling for the sake of dunya does not really worth it. That is why it is not mentioned. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is a hadith in Adab al-Mufrad. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, he heard an hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had to buy a camel. After hearing that hadith, he bought a camel and he made his journey back to Sham. When he got to Sham, he traveled for a whole month. And when he got to Sham, he found out that the narrator of the hadith was Abdullah ibn Unais. And when he met him, he said, "Hadithun balagoni anka an Rasulillah." How come I call? An hadith that I heard from you. فَخَشِيْتُ أَنْ أَمُوتَ أَوْ تَمُوتُ. And I fear that I die or you die without me getting the proper wordings of that hadith. The journey of a whole month and the journey of another month back to Medina. That's a salah, traveling for the sake of what? Of knowledge. Not traveling because they are frustrated here. You know, if your religion is secured in Nigeria, but it is not still very, very palatable, I think it is better than considering any option anywhere where you are not sure of the safety of your religion and even the training of your kids. So this is the lesson here. Because I deliberately talked about this because we are fond of traveling today. And we see traveling even as another form of success. No, it's not in America. And so what? What about us that are in Nigeria? What has happened? We are okay. Are we not okay? We are also okay. We are not saying people should not. But I believe we get my point. So that's just the point. Consider your religion in whatever choice you want to make. Scholars said that the Prophet ﷺ did not particularly mention it. That فَإِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَاتٍ يَنْكِوَا. Because it is not worthy of it. It's not worthy of mentioning. As it is also not worthy of traveling at the expense of your religion. So many homes today are in disarray because of issues like this. The husband is hooked elsewhere with a woman in the name of securing a card or securing a living. The first wife, or as the case may be, the other wife is here, ranting. She will even be ranting on phone. Hello, Abu. Hello, King. Surely be willing. What is lacking is the understanding. What is lacking is the understanding. Even if it is poverty, were the companions not poor at the time? This I used to say, there was a time when we were in MSS. There was a time during our days in MSS that we used to think that whoever was riding Egypt then has been doomed in the ocean of Dunya. Yes, because I am telling you, I'm talking about some 17 years ago, that then in MSSN at IDC, if we invite any brother, and the brother did not come, and say, one travel, I went, I don't want to travel, subhanAllah. At that point in time, wallahi, we never thought there could be millionaires amongst us. Some 2 decades ago, just 2 decades ago. But today, alhamdulillah, even the student of knowledge, or the teachers, or the scholars, as some of you will put it, even the student of knowledge amongst us, alhamdulillah, they are living fine. Because the students of knowledge are not known with wealth, they are known with knowledge. By the time a student of knowledge or a scholar comes and says, I was asked, what do you want to say? What's wrong? By the time a student of knowledge organizes himself or carries himself in a way that will make people look at his dunya than his deen, then there is a problem. But yet, we are still not blind. We know those who are okay among our brothers. If you see somebody who is okay, you will know the blessing of Allah, that the blessing of Allah resides with this person. Abi? Yet we know amongst us, some of these people, that even standing firm on the deen, being stubborn, yet they are still okay today. That some people are even thinking that maybe if you also want to be okay, you do like some of these ustaz, and it is not an almighty formula. Some people also seek knowledge for the sake of that. Think about who joke with me again. You don't want to have a getting ruin your manner. Oh man, now I want to tell you, I'm funny. There's a brother who finished here. Let me just finish on this light note. There's a brother who finished here who we are very close. He memorized the Quran. After memorizing the Quran, mashallah, he was memorizing the Kutub al-Sittah. So after some effort on that, he was also trying to take lessons in Dirasat al-Asanid and Ilm al-Rijal. Barakallahu fi. He was a very good brother. And he came to me, we were discussing, and I told him, my brother, okay, you studied chemical engineering, I think, is it mechanical? Very, very brilliant. And he has special interest in this programming of a thing. I said, my brother, don't leave your programming thing. Don't leave it. I am not saying you shouldn't seek for knowledge. Let me tell you, it might not work for everybody the way it had worked for some people. This we have to get clear. And your programming, mastering your programming, does not take that knowledge away from you. Let us not think when a person is said to be a scholar or a student of knowledge, that it is only restricted to having madrasa, teaching people at different levels of teaching, having an halqa. It is not restricted to that. Then we have among the companions, noble companions, Abdurrahman bin Auf. Abdurrahman bin Auf was a businessman. Let us not limit ourselves. Let us not give the impression outside that Salafiyah is only about Kitab wa Sunnah. We have the companions not on Salafiyah, and we add among them artisans. We add among them business persons, real business persons. Said, my brother, you don't do it that way. Today, as I am talking to you, alhamdulillah, today, the brother must be praying for me. Because he's now renowned in that field. And personally, he has taken his wife through, as at last time we spoke, I think it was only about 5 juz that was left. He took his wife, he would be in his home, working there, reciting the Quran to his wife, and the wife memorized the whole of Quran, except 5 juzi from her husband. And the husband is earning a lalikali. Without leaving the shore of Nigeria. So, I think this is the take home for today.